call center.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Yeah, what is the late report? I have to leave to talk to Haig for a while now.
We pulled all the store routines we had and ran out of gas at about 4:45.
So now they've got Gleason on.
They've got Gleason on. And actually what happened, we were being very successful stalling, and Bai went out to the cameras and said, why is the why are the Republican members of the committee so fearful of having Gleason here? Well, of course, that just forced Eastland's hand.
Yeah.
He was being cooperative up until that point. Thus far, however, in the questioning, it's gone just fine. They started in and asked him what he did in 1968. Rusker objected, and Eastland ruled in favor of allowing the question to be answered. He said he was an assistant to Maurice Stans, and then the next question was from Kennedy was what did you do for Stans? And at that point, Eastland stepped in and ruled against Kennedy. So they, it looks to me like Eastland will hold firm, and it also looks like Rusker is jumping right out of his chair to object every inch of the way. So they'll only have, we've had them call a couple of live quorums, which slow them down a little. They'll only have, I mean, quorums on the floor to try to drag the senators out.
So they'll have how long do they meet all night, all evening, or?
Well, Eastland usually breaks that off about 6, and he's
he has to go have his drinks.
That's, he can't stay away from the Chivas Regal after 6. So that
but then they'll have him again in the morning, I presume.
No, I don't think so, Mr. President. Well, they may. I shouldn't say that. We did arrange one thing earlier, which was that they would lock Flanagan in for morning. We did that because we wanted to get off Gleason, and we told Gleason's lawyer told the committee that Gleason would not be in town tomorrow, period. So I think if we can get if Eastland holds firm and they don't really start probing the political financing questions, then they'll turn loose of them quickly.
Mr. Christ, they could get at Kennedy, though, and I mean, that son of a bitch asking such questions. Jesus Christ.
He really is. There is a man totally without scruples.
But he's got smart little kikes working for him,
too. Just what he
put in the questions.
Well, they've been all day talking about they couldn't wait till they get their hands on Gleason. So they've been pumping him up. There isn't any question about that.
Yeah. Well, they may get some. So Gleason says he did. He worked for Maurice Stans, but it's not none of their damn business what he did in that. That is not relevant to the confirmation of Kleindienst.
No, it isn't. That's
the point. How could it possibly be relevant?
Well, the only question they can get into is how much did ITT contribute, and that's of course the one area where you'd have a pretty good debate over germaneness. So if we...
He's prepared to answer that, I suppose. He has to say it, doesn't he?
Well, I think so, if his memory holds up. And that's another side of that question.
Well, they couldn't contribute as a corporation.
No.
He's got to make clear that. I mean, or they violated the law. Isn't that true?
If they had contributed as a corporation, they did.
Yeah. So he would say, well, they got individual contributions from several people.
Oh, he's clear on that.
And just like they contributed to other campaigns, too.
Well, I hope he's smart enough to...
Hartke? Huh?
I hope he's smart enough to do that. He's not... the trouble is he's not much. If we get into any difficulty with his testimony, we'll have to pick up the pieces with other people, and I have talked to... Glenn Bell and a few others who will really step in and slug for us if they...
Yeah,
if
what'll they say?
Do this.
No.
Well, they'll just raise the whole specter of, I know what was given during the Democratic years by these fellows.
Yeah, right.
Why aren't we talking about the President's Club, that LBJ, the defense contractor?
President's Club, defense contractors.
Oh, sure.
And how many, and I call on every member of the Senate to say how much, that's where you can get in my point that I've been trying to get somebody to get, and nobody's got it. That poor reporter doesn't know how to do it, apparently. Make every member of the Senate say how, has he ever accepted any favors from AT&T? Did he ever stay in a hotel? Did he ever ride their aircraft? Did he ever receive a contribution from any people? Muskie, of course, received one contribution of $1,000. He admitted, didn't he?
Well, Felix Royden.
Right. Well, there must be others.
Oh, sure.
And so that's a thing to get into. Now, if we're going to go into this, as a matter of fact, be sure to get up the word right up there to Ruskinow that if Eastland rules that they can ask about this, then it's important to find out whether if he's going to go open it up as to who IT&T contributed to, and then isn't it also relevant whether they contributed to members of the committee? Any other senator.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, that's an area, Mr. President. I have a few inside bits of information from IT&T. I have some idea of what they did in the Kennedy-Johnson years, and I haven't used it because we've been working sort of hand in glove with
it. But if it is,
don't
put it out. But get it out tonight.
I assure you. If it does,
I'll call you about 7 o'clock or 7:30 about it. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Fine. Get the latest report. Okay.
Conley did a great job for us this afternoon.
Did he? Oh, he always does a great job.
Well, I haven't seen anything from it other than the wire story, but I got a report from one of the fellows there, and they said he was just so animated and just so good and so hard-hitting, and he tore into the press, and he tearing down our institutions, and he tore into the Democrats in the Senate.
On the war?
On the war.
Oh, good.
And he just really, and on the economy, I mean, he was apparently in one of his best forms. He really did a hell of a job.
Well, we've been keeping the offensive. You know, I think it's I told Buchanan earlier, and I told him to, and I'll have to take a look as to whether we want to do it, but I thought those damned Ivy League university presidents, that's up. All they're trying to do, rather than leading their students, is follow them. And I told, I said, this is a good time for Agnew to touch him up a little.
Well, we've got a good speech for Agnew that he's just sent me down a revised draft of that looks pretty good. I think we should. And
well, you see, it'll make news. The point is, if he takes them on,
that's right.
He can make news. And he says, he'd like to see a university president once who, instead of condemning the United States, condemns our enemies.
Well,
now, damn it, that just ought to be said by somebody.
Well, we're saying it over and over, and Connor said that today. He said, I watched those hearings, and he said, I was amazed and appalled that in watching the hearings with two cabinet members up there before that committee, nobody said anything against North Vietnam. All they did was talk about what we were doing.
Yeah.
So he was good, and Agnew can do that. And I talked to Ziegler earlier about our answering the Ivy League president.
No, I agree. He said no.
Yeah, I think it's
not our level, but let Agnew hit him.
Yeah, we don't want to give any kids any excuse.
No, that's right. But he can hit him Friday.
Agnew can do it.
Friday. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Bye.
Thank you, Mr. President.